KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. The clash of protesters in Charlottesville was on everybody's mind yesterday when Seattle saw its own demonstrations. The right-wing Portland-based group Patriot Prayer had planned the pro-Trump rally before the events in Charlottesville. Joe Harrison was at that rally, and despite fears of violence, Harris has said he wasn't carrying a gun.
We don't even have flagpoles in our events. No weapons, no nothing. We're here to talk. We're here to converse. We're here to say, hey, we have a right to our opinion.
And on the other side of the Seattle protests were the anti-fascists. This attendee just identified herself as Blossom.
I don't want Nazis to gain a foothold in the U.S. I think that if we don't fight against them, then they're going to think that it's okay for them to be Nazis. And that's not what I want for this country. That's not what I want for the world.
Attending that counter-protest was Pastor Priscilla Paris Austin with Emmanuel Lutheran Church in South Lake Union. Welcome to KUOW, Pastor.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Why did you go?
I felt like it was very important to have a different voice, a different statement of faith represented on the corner there. The Patriot Prayer folks, first of all, utilizing the word prayer and claiming a identity alongside a faith in which I take very seriously, but claiming it in a way that was exclusive and counter to the gospel that I understand and that I know. So I felt it was necessary to stand and hold space and show that there's a different way of being.
Stand and hold space. Were you one of those people trying to push through the police barriers and get to that Patriot Prayer Group demonstration in Westlake?
So we as a clergy, there was a group of us who gathered with the help of the Faith Action Network, a group of us, and our intention was really to just witness and to walk up in the back of the marchers and to be there as a presence in the back and to kind of just keep a peaceable presence. As the march processed and as we continued to not be able to get anywhere near Westlake, we eventually were somehow, a path was made, and we ended up face-to-face with the police line. So I wouldn't say we were there to push through that line, but that's where we ended up holding space. Yeah.
Also with us is Chris Parker, professor of political science at University of Washington. He watched the weekend events from Charlottesville to Seattle. Professor, welcome back to KUOW.
It was good to be back, Bill.
And you said this didn't surprise you at all?
Not in the least. I think that what surprises me is quite frankly, is a continuing outrage of white progressives who continue to be surprised by this. And for people of color, this is our life every day. Right. And so it outrages me that it takes this much to get white progressives to finally see that there's something really wrong and amiss in this country.
What did you think of, you know, President Trump got a lot of criticism over the weekend for not calling out to white supremacists and the KKK. Today, Trump came out and said racism is evil. And people who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis and white supremacists. What did you think of that statement today from the president?
2 days late and $100 short. Mm-hmm. It's just like the fact of the matter is most of the time people's first response is their most sincere response. And so the fact that it took him 2 days to get his act together to do this, it suggests that he was pressured, you know, by Republicans. Orrin Hatch and other members of the Republican Party are coming out and saying, you know, this is just not right. This is not the America. These are not consistent with the values on which America was based. And by not coming out and naming, you know, that it was a Klan, it was, you know, white nationalists. Even as Trump, I'm not going to call him president, forget that. Even though Trump, you know, called out President Obama every time he got a chance to do so for not naming it radical Islamic terrorism, right? I mean, come on. I mean, how much of this are we going to put up with as a country? I mean, there's always a double standard. As people of color, we always know we have to be twice as good to get half as far. And this is just another example of this in reverse.
So if Trump was responding to pressure and came out and called out the KKK and neo-Nazis, white supremacists, that's got no effect. The spectacle of him being bowing to pressure, this is your theory, that in Congress, among his supporters?
Yeah, I'm saying so it does have a small salutary effect, you know, to some people in the Republican Party. But for those of us who are progressives, this doesn't mean anything for us. I mean, he read a prepared statement. Right. He's not speaking from the heart. So he's bowing to political pressure. I'm not saying that there's absolutely no benefit to that, benefit that accrues from that for him. But for the rest of the country, I mean, even the people, his white nationalist constituents, you know, they're like, okay, he had to do this. So that lets him off the hook with them because he didn't come straight out and say it at the beginning. So they know that he's bowing to political pressure, and so they'll give him a pass. The rest of the Republican Party that's in the middle, that gives them a little more cover in order to continue to support him to the extent they will continue to do so.
Pastor Austin, as I said, you were in downtown Seattle.
Yes.
To you, what's the difference, if any, the important difference between what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, and what happened in Seattle over the weekend?
So I think that for me, I'm grateful that no one was hurt. There was no incredible outbursts of violence. There was some scuffles. There was some skirmishes happening on the ground. There were none happening around us as clergy, other than just the flash bombs that got tossed, and we kind of backed off from those. But being for us as a presence of clergy, I think it was to kind of help maintain some of that peace, to maintain the space for people to hear their voices and to speak out, but then to proclaim. You know, I think that it is that we as a people have to find a way to proclaim the positiveness of the message. The counter-protest is incredibly important, and I am completely in favor of it and a complete huge advocate of it. But the point of the counter-protest is to help people see that there is a better way, that there is greater love, that there is enough love, that there are enough resources, that there is enough for everyone, and we don't have to be at each other's throats. This individualism is not helpful.
But if what you saw on TV and in social media was pepper spray and police visors covered in silly string, how is the message coming across to the average person that there's, as you say, a greater love?
See, and I would say that that's a media spin piece, right? One of the things, I ended up getting interviewed by a newscaster who very much sort of framed her question in such a way that she was trying to instigate an agitated response from me. And my counter was to really make sure that I'm holding the peaceable line that I'm trying to say, you know. And I said, you know, she pushed me on whether or not there would be space in this love for the folks who are on the other side of that line. And I absolutely believe that there is space and there is enough love for everybody. And you know, I am not deluded. I am a woman of color, and I am not surprised at any of these things happening. These folks are not, their presence and their words and their existence does not surprise me in any way, shape, or form. But I think that there's a different way in which to approach it. I don't think that the violence is helpful. I understand it, but I don't think that gets us to our destination.
Professor, love and violence and people of color, what do you, I saw you react. What are you thinking?
So first of all, Pastor, I do agree with you in that, you know, we need to oppose this. I mean, this cannot go uncontested and unchallenged. Mm-hmm. I just have a hard time believing that turning the other cheek is the right course right now. I think in theory that works, but in practice, I just have a hard time believing that. I mean, think about the ways in which during the civil rights movement, so you had the Martin Luther King wing of the civil rights movement or the freedom struggle, if you will, and then you had the Malcolm wing. And mm-hmm. I think that the reason why and history bears this out is that the Martin wing, you know, the sort of Gandhian approach of passive resistance, that kind of worked out because white folks did not want to have to deal with the alternative.
True. I would agree completely. I mean, I think, and that's why I'm saying that I think there's space for all of it. I think there's reasoning and absolutely justification and a need probably for all of it. I don't affirm the violence. I don't affirm. But I will say this: friends of mine marched in Charlottesville. And they were clergy, and they were part of that counter protest. And the anarchists when the white supremacists and the neo-Nazis began to try and attack the clergy, it was the anarchists who protected them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, both of those things were necessary, but it was the it was the power of that peacefulness of the clergy being protected by these anarchists that sent this whole different message, right? And it was their partnership and they're finding some way to work together that made, I think, made it possible for the governor and for the mayor to make statements of strong repudiation that they were able to do. And so I think that's the thing, you know? I mean, and it's that partnership that allows us to find some amazing new way of being that we're trying to figure out. And so I'm not in disagreement with you at all. I think that we do. I don't want to just turn the cheek, but at some point somebody has to stop the violence. I mean, somewhere it has to stop and you have to draw a line.
So thank you for saying that, Pastor. I didn't mean to suggest that I meant, you know, offensive violence, if you will. I do agree with you on that. I'm glad the Antifa people were there to protect the clergy. I do have one question, however.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day, once again, I'll make another reference to the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. When Martin Luther King wrote the letter from Birmingham jail, he was really upset with the clergy in Birmingham for not coming out and mm-hmm. supporting the movement.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, if you guys don't support us, then where are we going to get our support? And so I guess I would ask is, where is the support from, you know, so you have a bunch of clergy support Trump. So how can these people support Trump? You know, if you mentioned the gospel, I'm going to assume you're referring to the social gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This his agenda is not consistent with the social gospel, at least as I know it. And I don't know it that well, but I know it well enough to know that it's not mm-hmm. consistent with it. So where are the clergy writ large, you know, on these issues, right? Why are the clergy supporting Trump?
You know, and I would agree, and that's why those of us who did march yesterday as part of the counter protest felt it was that much more imperative that we march, because the Christian gospel, the Islamic message, the other folks with whom we were marching, the Jewish folks, everybody, our message has been co-opted. It has been co-opted by a message of hate that is contrary to what it is we see and how we understand that message. And so I'll speak specifically about Christianity in terms of, as Christian people, that gospel says that we are to love our enemies, we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, we are called to stand with the marginalized. And you are absolutely right. And in many ways, I have been pushing my church and I have been pushing my denomination to be more responsive. We have remained silent way too long, not myself personally, but us as a denomination. We have very much fallen to the powers of empire and succumbed to that sinfulness, and we have just, in the name of get along, go along to get along, have been quiet.
Okay,
and that is not acceptable.
I want to finally play another point of view for both of you. This is a phone call from a KUOW listener on this topic of when you step in and when you don't give oxygen to your opponents. Listen to this.
Hi there. My name is Dusty. I'm in Port Townsend, Washington. And I, if I'd been closer, I'd have gone to Seattle with a bullhorn yesterday and said, wouldn't it be great if we just ignore them? Turn your backs, walk away as a group of people, go have lunch, and implore the news media to stop broadcasting these. It's journalistic porn. And it's what they want. They want us all out there screaming and yelling and to lower our standards to their standards. This is what they want. My proper response would be to turn my back and let them yell at the moon.
Turn your back, let them yell at the moon, Professor?
No way. No. This sort of, as Pastor mentioned earlier, that this kind of intolerance needs to be contested. You just cannot let it run rampant. And I say that for at least two reasons. The first of which is that, you know, protest is is American as apple pie, if you will, right? So that's kind of one thing. But beyond that, if this is not countered, then it lets people, I mean, think about what's happening with Trump right now. I mean, so people say, you know, like, you know, why is this country the way it is right now? Why are we so polarized? Well, because we have the it's difficult to really hide that this country remains a racist, sexist, homophobic and xenophobic country. You know why? Because we have the biggest one in the White House right now. Right. This country is really, really polarized to the point. I mean, this country has not been this polarized since the Civil War. So I would say that this kind of intolerance needs to be checked. It needs to be confronted. But it also gives some hope to like-minded people to let people know, like, look, we're not the only people that think like this, right? And so this is a show, you know, to those people who are otherwise might sit on the sidelines, that this is that we have like-minded people out here that are committed enough to sacrifice, if you will. So therefore, we need to get behind this effort in some way, shape or form, either participating in these protests ourselves or going to the polls ultimately to make sure our voices are heard.
Okay, Pastor Austin, on this subject of turn your back and let them howl at the moon, this Patriot Prayer, the first speaker got up and said, Charlottesville, that was terrorism. White supremacists are not welcome here. He called for peace and love and said, if you're here for racist reasons, you should leave. Meanwhile, there are alt-right groups making a lot of that they don't have free, they can't even have a peaceful rally because they don't have free speech because the anti-fascist types will come in and try to make trouble. So what, with that background, what is your take on this question of instead don't give them oxygen, let them have their peaceful event and show them that they can speak freely?
You know, I think that it is hard to argue something like that because, you know, absolutely, there are times when we need to just not give people that attention, that the clamoring for media attention feeds that fire. However, clearly, that strategy has not worked. We have for the entirety of the Obama presidency, a whole bunch of progressive and liberal white folks felt that everything was all good now and everything's done and racism is fixed and we are now a fixed community and a united people. And it's deceiving ourselves. It's deceiving ourselves to believe that if we just ignore it, it makes it go away. And so I don't know that you can, I wish that that were true. I wish that we could just turn our backs on them and let that sort of starve them out. But the truth is they're scared. They are frightened and they are, and fear yields really scary results, and people do scary things when they are afraid, and they will do things without being countered that will become even more harmful. And so we have to respond in some way.
Pastor Priscilla Paris Austin with Emmanuel Lutheran Church in South Lake Union was at yesterday's marches downtown. University of Washington political science professor Chris Parker joining us as well. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.